Blog Talk Radio.
Joined by TJ Hattigan from MLB.com to speak about everything that has happened in free agency in the MLB offseason. An active one so far. We will talk to him about everything that's happened there. Right now we're going to talk a little golf for a couple minutes. Obviously, Bubba Watson won Tiger's event, the Hero World Challenge. But I want to talk about Tiger himself because I believe that what has been written and said about him in the last 5-6 days is actually incorrect. A lot of people saw his demeanor, his tone, his word choice on Tuesday in the press conference in the Bahamas and basically said he's done, he's depressed, he doesn't think he can come back, he's got no timetable. And what I actually think happened, which Nota Begay articulated to a radio station in Chicago, the CBS sports radio station in Chicago, but didn't articulate very well overall, is that, or that Tiger didn't articulate well, is that in fact, doing nothing is rehab. Letting the body heal by doing no rehab whatsoever is physical rehab. Having no timetable is physical rehab. And compared to ACL surgeries, where you basically started on that rehab immediately, this counts as part of Tiger's rehab. And when the doctors say you can start the more physical part of rehab, they have a plan and he'll be ready. There's a chance that the body may never recover enough for him to play, which is why I think he said anything that happens from here on out's gravy, which is the line that really spooked people. And why in that press conference he seems so dour, I don't know. But I think, in fact, this concept of what he's doing right now is therapy and it just has no end date caught a lot of people off guard, and I think Tiger didn't articulate it well. That's at least my interpretation of what Tiger meant. I don't know when we'll see Tiger. It may not be till mid-2016, late 2016, 2017. But I do think we have a more optimistic perspective on who and what Tiger Woods is now versus back on Tuesday, from his comments, from not only notice comments, but also what Tiger said to Time Magazine, to Lauren Rubenstein, and what Tiger said in the booth with Terry and Roger yesterday. Thomas Harrigan joins us to talk Major League Baseball in 30 seconds. You are listening to Teeing It Up with Jeremy Schillen on Blog Talk Radio, Golf News Radio Network, and iTunes.
Sometimes tough isn't enough. Lou Gehrig was baseball's Iron Man, but lost it all to ALS, a muscle-wasting disease that destroyed his skills and ended his life in just a few years. MDA has been leading the fight to vanquish ALS for decades. Truly effective treatments must be found, because the battle Lou Gehrig fought is still being waged in households across America. Call 1-800-572-1717 to learn more about what MDA is doing to strike out ALS and save lives.
We're joined from MLB.com, the great, our friend, our colleague, and the man who knows every baseball player that's in the majors right now, probably, T.J. Harrigan. Is that true, by the way?
Yeah, probably. I'd say so.
This is MLB Hot Stove time. This is the winter meetings down in Nashville where things tend to happen, and things already happened today. Let's start there just because it already happened. Chapman, the hard-throwing reliever, the guy who lights it up just like Steph Curry does three-pointers, traded from the Reds to the Dodgers. It seemed like the Reds wanted to move him, and the Dodgers were the landing spot.
Well, the Reds, he's going to be a free agent, and the Reds aren't going anywhere. So, I mean, it makes sense to trade a guy that's going to be your closer if you're not really planning on contending. I just don't really get the move from a Dodgers standpoint because they already have if they want to pair the closer they already have, Kenley Jansen, with Chapman, that's fine. But it's we saw with Storen in Washington last year when they acquired Papelbon. You know, these guys that have succeeded as closers don't want to go back down to be setup men. And, you know, after the guy they already have, Jansen, is one of the most dominant relievers in the league. So they could have an issue on their hands if he doesn't really feel like moving to the eighth. They may have to, you know, either convince him or move him away. And then you're back in the same spot with one good guy. And then a bunch of other jumbled guys put together for their bullpen. I mean, if they can make it work with those two, obviously it's great. It'll be one of the toughest bullpens in the league. But we're going to have to see how that plays out with him.
What's interesting to me is the Dodgers and the Giants were the two rumored spots for where Greinke might end up. And I wonder now, because they have Kershaw and because starting pitching has been so much their strength, that maybe they're realizing that this Kansas City Royal makeup of having all these strong back-end bullpen pieces is the way to go moving forward. Do you think that's part of this too?
Yeah, I think a lot of teams are seeing that kind of thing can definitely work. Dodgers also picked up, you know, Iwakuma from Seattle. He could be a nice replacement. Not going to fill exactly in for Greinke, but he's had a nice little run for Seattle under the radar. So he could, you know, bolster their rotation. And then if they can make that back end of the bullpen, if they can make both guys work where one guy doesn't mind being the setup man, then it's going to be pretty tough to beat.
What is your take on Greinke going to the Diamondbacks? It was thought that the Giants were going to be the landing spot, and then the Diamondbacks kind of snuck in there towards the end and made it the team. Were you surprised on that, and does that change what you think the expectations are for the Diamondbacks?
I don't know if it changes their expectations a whole lot. Yeah, I definitely was surprised to see them go there because they weren't discussed at all, and they haven't really had a big name starting pitcher in quite some time. But I just think they needed to make a splash, and they ponied up the most dough, and Greinke took it. And you know, he should continue to do pretty well for them. He doesn't really rely on, you know, like a 99 mile an hour fastball or anything. He's got great control. He knows where the ball's going all the time, and his stuff is still really good. So, I mean, I don't know if it's not going to vault the Diamondbacks to the top of the standings. So they need a lot more than just him.
And that was my next point. Greinke is only one guy. He only pitches every 5 days. Where do the Diamondbacks go from here? Because you don't promise a guy, or convince a guy to to choose us over somebody else, especially someone like the Giants, who are already who are always seemingly in contention for a team that's had so many problems. So what do the Diamondbacks do next?
Well, I think they're pretty good on offense. They've got, you know, obviously they have Goldschmidt and A.J. Pollock and a bunch of guys like that are, you know, their lineup's really solid. On the pitching side of things, that's where they're really lacking. They need a lot. It's going to be really hard to build up a rotation, and they kind of need rotation pieces and bullpen pieces. It's really besides Greinke. So I think they're going to have to look to get a couple starters and bullpen guys, but I don't know how much money they're going to have to spend on that after handing Greinke his contract.
We've got David Price to the Red Sox for about $4 trillion. I sent you to the Tom Verducci article, which basically argued that increasingly the money's not worth it for guys like Price, that the return on investment in those latter years really goes down. And I don't, you know, for someone like Price, Boston's taking a huge risk here, a lot of money, brand new GM. The folks up there are not happy with the way this team has gone the last couple of years. He's obviously a dominant pitcher, but once again, only once every 5 days.
Right. Well, it's going to be all right, like, for the next couple of years, probably. I think these teams are resigned to the fact that none of these deals are going to be worth it in 5 years or anything like that. They know that they might have some issues, but the short-term thinking is, you know, go for the title, and no one's going to care in a couple of years if Price is stinking up the joint. Not that he's going to, but, you know, it's just I feel like they think they have the money to spend. They're one of the highest payroll teams in the league, and they just feel like he was worth it. He's obviously a little overpaid, but I can't blame them for going after him. He was the top ace on the market, and he immediately puts them in contention after they had all those rotation issues last year. So I can't really blame them for going after him when they felt like they had the money.
What else do you think the Red Sox do?
Well, they already traded Wade Miley today, so they're it looks like they're going to be in for another rotation overhaul. They're still chasing that elusive Clay Buchholz full season, which I don't know if they'll ever get. I think they're going to have to add another starter. They've got some, you know, issues on who's going to play where too on the other side of the field, but I think their rotation's the bigger concern.
As you look at it, you know, guys constantly moving around. Jeff Samardzija got a bunch of money. Dominoes here. One person falls, and then the next person moves on. So Samardzija goes to the Giants. I thought this was too much money, the 90-whatever million dollars that he got. I thought this was too much money. The Giants are in a weird spot because at their, you know, you look at who they are and what they are, they're not that far off, and it could only be one or two pieces, and sometimes you have to overpay for those pieces to take that leap.
Right. I mean, they definitely paid a little too much for him, especially considering, you know, Jordan Zimmerman got about $22 million a year from Detroit, and I'd rather have him for that. But I could see him having a turnaround year back in the NL, back in a pitcher's park. You know, he had a really bad time in Chicago last year with the White Sox, and specifically in U.S. Cellular, which is Homer Happy. So I could see him turning things around and being you know, a viable number two starter for them. So it's not in this today's market with the money all these pitchers are getting. It looks bad on paper, but when you really break it down, he's probably not overpaid by as much as it looks.
Talking to T.J. Harrigan about the free agent carousel that is Major League Baseball. Speaking of overpaying, that's what the Mets would have to do. Well, sorry, not overpaying, but a lot of people think that the Mets should pay a bajillion dollars to keep Yoenis Cespedes. What do you think the Mets should do with Cespedes? Clearly he's a game changer, but clearly he's not the most perfect citizen in mankind history. What do you think they do for him, and where do you think he ends up?
I think they gotta sign him. I think they really need to. They're on the cusp of something great, I think, and with that pitching, and you know, you really don't want to waste these guys' prime with a subpar offense like the one they trotted out for the first few months last year. I mean, he made such a huge difference on their lineup. It's just, you know, he's going to take the money, though. He's going to be overpaid, but because of what he did late last year, I think he probably earned himself a little more than he was going to get. But I feel like if you're the Mets, you got to go for that.
Let me ask you this. Would you trade one of the Met pitchers to get a bat? Because obviously, you know, they are labeled by some as one of the finalists for Ben Zobrist. But let's say they don't get Zobrist. Do you think they should trade Wheeler or one of the arms to get somebody?
Yeah, I mean, if they could move Wheeler, I would, because he's coming off Tommy John, and if they could maybe move Matz, because he's unproven. But I wouldn't move the top three guys. I wouldn't move Harvey. I wouldn't move DeGrom or Syndergaard. I'd go with those three. I feel like you're set up for to contend for years to come, and you can, if you sign Cespedes or your piece, you get another bat via free agency, you're in pretty good shape, I think. But yeah, if they can move Wheeler or Matz and get a decent bat back, I would consider that.
What do you think the Yankees do? The Yankees, Brian Cashman makes it, seem like they may trade Brett Gardner for somebody. The Yankees obviously need some depth. They need some starting pitching help. They may need another bat. They've already gotten a bat. Some bats early on in free agency. What do you think the Yankees do?
You can never count them out to make the surprise splash, but it seems like they're being pretty quiet this winter and trying to just build their depth up a little bit and just play for play for 2017 in terms of the free agent market. Maybe they just don't think some of these guys are worth it to throw money at them. And I don't think they could really afford, not monetarily, but I don't think they could really afford to sign one of these big-name starters and then, have them break down again, just like with Sabathia. They're finally almost about to get Alfa under that contract. So I don't see them throwing a lot of money at whoever's left, Johnny Cueto or someone like that. I
Which
did just
one
see
of
that they might look for Fernandez.
Right,
someone was writing on ESPN that they should go after Jose Fernandez and offer up Dangle, Aaron Judge, and people like that. I would definitely consider that if they can go after that.
What of the Yankees moves that they've done so far this offseason do you think will pay off most? And I'll tell you which one I think.
I mean, the Hicks move could work out because
yeah.
I think because Gary Sanchez is ready to take over as the backup catcher to McCann. He had a great Arizona Fall League. So, John Ryan Murphy was expendable for a guy that was a former first-round pick. He's a very good defender. He's got some speed. And he could, develop into something at least. I think it was a good, a good risk to take. It wasn't that big of a risk, and it's worth the upside. So I think so far that's the move that could pay off for them so far.
Talking with TJ Harrigan about Major League Baseball offseason. All right, let's go through some of these guys. Where does Cueto end up?
Well, Dodgers are probably off the board after getting Chapman and Iwakuma, but you can't count them out to throw more money at him. But it's a good question. What do you think?
I think that somebody is going to overpay for him. You know, we looked at last year, like the Padres, who made a bunch of deals that just flat out didn't work out. I feel like Cueto, you know, one of these guys, whether it's him, whether it's Jason Hayward, these guys seem to always end up in a place where they want that big contract, they take the money, and somebody just pops up and says, okay, we're going to have hope, and they're going to count on these young dudes, and then the young dudes don't pan out, and I want to be traded in year two. That for me, is what I see out of guys like Cueto and Hayward.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. But, you know, like a lot of the places that he's been rumored to go are already going in different directions. So, you know, Boston already filled up with Price, San Francisco with Samardzija, L.A., and the Cubs signed Lackey. So it might be a mystery team that jumps in here at the end for Cueto.
Let me ask you this, TJ. I ask you the toughest questions on team. Questions that you are not prepared for. Questions that maybe make you change your worldview, how you view Earth and how you view life. Today's question is the following. Mike Pelfrey is still in Major League Baseball?
He actually wasn't too terrible in Minnesota last year. He was a serviceable fifth starter.
I forgot that dude even existed.
He's hanging on. He's hanging on. I guess he's going to take his talents to Detroit now.
And it's funny, you know, I saw Josh Tolley re-sign with Toronto. There was a while where the Mets thought that Tolley was their guy, and it seems so long ago now because of what Travis d'Arnaud did. But it's amazing to think that Tolley was the guy for a while.
Yeah, now he's basically R.A. Dickey's specialist now. He starts to catch the knuckleball.
Yeah, exactly. What's interesting for me, I'm not sure if you saw this, where Scott Boras came out and said that the revenues were, you know, whacked out, and then Tony Clark said, hold on a second, that's not right. These revenues are actually 50-50 between the owners and the players. And then you see these contracts that just are like, they go through the gills. Do you think we're getting to the point where a salary cap might have to come, or some kind of semi-salary cap might be coming to baseball? Or do you think this is the norm where $31 million a year will just keep growing and growing and growing?
Yeah, I think we're the second one. I think we're at the point where these contracts are just going to keep growing, especially because, you know, these teams don't mind overpaying. Once they're already resigned to the fact that they're going to give up, you know, try to give – if the Red Sox say, oh, we think Price is worth $28 million a year, what's the difference if we go up to 31, you know? So as they keep extending it a million here, a million there a year, then it keeps going up, and they obviously feel like they can afford it with all the revenue pouring in. So, but I don't see any salary cap coming in, especially because, you know, the Royals just won the World Series. So it's not, you know, signed, sealed, and delivered to all these big market teams to pull in a title by paying for it.
Where do you think Zobrist winds up?
I mean, I like the Mets if he could replace. He would be a good replacement for Murphy, especially the better defender at second and a better hitter overall. I think they should definitely look into him if they don't. You know, I don't know if they could fit. They probably can't fit Cespedes and Zobrist both under their financial restraints, but we'll see. I think that would be a good landing spot for him.
Yeah, for me too. You know, for me, I think that the Mets, they may only need, if they keep all the pitchers, I got something in my eye here. If they keep all the pitchers, I think they could be only one or two bats away, and I think that's somebody who may be worth all the money in the world. We saw how annoying he was how pesky he was to the Mets in the World Series. I think that could be a smart pickup. Jose Fernandez, obviously, Jason Stark is reporting that the Yankees, Dodgers, and D-backs are all in on him. What do you think he ends up?
I mean, obviously, as a Yankee fan, I'd love to see him end up with the Yankees. I don't think he goes anywhere. I think the Marlins wise up, and if it's true that he's available, there's no way they should let him go. The guy has the talent to be the best pitcher in the game. It would be an absolute crazy move, in my opinion.
Me too. I am with you 1,000%. Thoughts on the Giants' collapse yesterday?
No. I don't want to give them. I don't have any thoughts on it.
Thoughts on Steph Curry and what the Golden State Warriors are doing?
Oh, it's just absolutely amazing. I mean, first of all, they won the title, and then they come back and get even better the next year. And Curry, you know, nobody's gonna dispute that he's the best shooter of all time already. Anyone that says that, and no one's gonna dispute you on it.
What's interesting to me is that here we have a team that's going for perfection. The Panthers are 12-0. Steph's in a good spot. He's a big Panther fan, and his team's undefeated. What is your thought on trying to run tables and go undefeated for a while? The Patriots obviously figured out what it was like. For me, I'm a big proponent of losing before you get to the playoffs. I just think it's an added distraction, not lose on purpose. But if you do lose, it's not the worst thing in the world. What's your take on this?
I think it's not the worst thing in the world if they lose, but I think if the team has a shot, if they're 12-0, I think they need to go for the undefeated season. You know, lay it all on the line. There's a select few teams that there's a champion every year is what I like to say. There's a champion every year. If you win a title and go 12-4 and win a title, you're thrown into a collection with a bunch of other teams, but. If you go undefeated and win a title, you're going to be immortal. People still talk about the Dolphins, how they celebrate, how they pop champagne every time the undefeated season ends for someone else. So I feel like you need to do it. You need to go for it if it's in reach. You know.
I totally hear you on that one. Talking with TJ Harrigan. Final thing, TJ. The best baseball player no one knows anything about is?
Best baseball player no one knows anything about?
Well, not that no one knows anything about, because it's not like you're,
best friend,
cousin, sister, sister's boyfriend is some, up-and-coming star. But who is being underappreciated? Who's the guy who no one's looking at and says, you know what, maybe he won't be the next Mike Trout, but he is a stud in waiting?
I'm going to say Mookie Betts, Boston center fielder. I think he's about to bust out.
That range, that's for sure.
And he's pretty complete at the plate. He's going to be a good one.
Was it him that made that ridiculous catch on, like, the last day of the regular season or something?
He made a great catch to save someone's shutout, like, in September. It was, like, the final out of the game. It was Rich Hill.
That was ridiculous.
Chris
TJ
Davis shot.
No, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was saying Chris Davis hit it. He had a lot of home runs robbed this year.
Yeah, that's for sure. TJ Harrigan, MLB.com, works on the fantasy stuff, so he cares about all these hot stove stuff because he's then got to change their logo and change their outcome for next year and all that good stuff. Thank you, sir, for coming on Teeing It Up.
You got it. Take care.
We will see you Sunday for the Sunday Sprint. Have a great night, everybody. Enjoy.